good Thursday, everybody. Welcome in to Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe. He is Big Joe Dubin. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier is back at the station. We're live today at the Mint here at Kentucky Downs. We're right in the middle of the casino.
Right.
The music's going. People having a good time. We can see the Circa Sportsbook, but we're in a different spot than we were last week. Really excited to be here because live horse racing begins today, which is August 28th, at the Mint Gaming Hall at Kentucky Downs. And there are only 7 days of live racing on the grass here in Franklin, Kentucky. Admission is free. You can feel the excitement of the live horse racing now. So come up if you want to see some horse racing. Obviously, you can wager if you choose to do so, but they got the races going on out at the horse track. So we are very, very excited to be here. We'll tell you more about this great place we go on through the show, but a busy day, a busy show.
That's going to be fun. It's good. I mean, it's a quick, took me 40 minutes to get up here from Nashville to the exit and show up here. That's not, I mean, the Circus Sportsbook's beautiful. You got the live horse racing. This truly has become a fun destination. There's a nice crowd here today. People have stopped by and talked to us, so it's going to be a fun, fun day. And my goodness, do we have a fun show at 12:30 today.
I'm going to say this, and I say this with love. Anything else we have today, you do not care about.
I care about the entire show. That's incorrect.
You are so excited about Al Wilson.
Al Wilson at 12:30, former Tennessee linebacker who's honorary captain for the Tennessee-Syracuse game will join us at 12:30 today.
Play the Broncos for
8 years.
Nice.
So Al will join us on the phone today, so I'm really looking forward to that. You know, it's funny. I posted a picture of Al Wilson. Very few players in college football, can you post a picture of a player and say 5,000 words about that guy? Al Wilson is that guy. So we look forward to having him on the show at 12:30 today.
Yeah, we'll also give you our Metro Schools Game of the Week presented by Strike and Spare, and we appreciate Strike and Spare for being on that. The two coaches of the game that we will have, your McGavick Raiders, Frederick Burnett, is going to join us again. And then Devlin Culver, who's the head coach at Hunter's Lane. The game will be at Hunter's Lane tomorrow night, so we're looking forward to that. We'll talk to them at 1:30. And then Jeff Ferris, who's the head coach at Austin Peay, they're taking on MTSU this weekend, will join us at 1:45. So we got a packed show, but we start with Mike Borgonzi. He had his, preseason press conference earlier today. We're going to just run through a few things that he said and kind of give our thoughts on it. Let's start with his opening statement as he gets the 53-man roster set.
All right. Well, I guess, Mike, you guys had prioritized availability pretty highly, and guys, you brought along. Jalen Armour Davis hadn't played a ton over his first 3 years. What maybe made him different was worth maybe taking
over? Yeah, you know, Jalen, we looked into, and I've studied Jalen since back in Alabama. You know, he has had some injuries. But we feel like we have a good plan here with the training staff and Matt that we're going to be able to get him up to speed. You know, he's a talented corner. As we were going through, you know, these preseason cuts, really, he was, you know, one of the better corners out there that we saw. So, you know, he's still young. He's talented. And there was, you know, 4 other teams, I think, put a claim in for him, 4 including us. Yeah, you know, I think anytime you can add a young corner to the roster, that's why we put the claim in.
That was actually on Jalen Armour Davis, so the cornerback that they claimed from the Baltimore Ravens. And look, again, you make waiver claims, you're not claiming these guys to be starters, but you look at, I saw the report last night, and I think you touched on it, of how many teams that were interested in this guy. You got to feel better about the depth that you have there.
Absolutely, and I will take any guy that the Ravens say, all right, you take care, because the Ravens, I think, have the best pro personnel in football. They have some of the best talent evaluators in football. So if this guy doesn't make the team for Baltimore, it's okay, because there's a lot of talent up there, and the familiarity that Denard Wilson has with him, bring him in, man. He talked about the corners are a premium in the National Football League, as well as defensive and offensive tackles. Bring him in. You never know what could happen. So I'm on board with that one.
The other big topic that was discussed, of course, is the quarterback that they took number one overall in Cameron Ward. And I always think, you know, obviously the coaches are the ones that are going to be part of the development, and you want to hear what the coaches say. But I'm always curious of the guy that actually made the pick, what he thinks. Here was Mike Borgonzi on the development to Cam Ward to this point.
Like where Cam is from the time you first got your hands on him here to now getting ready to start week one. How do you like his progress?
I'm very pleased with Cam. I mean, the whole staff is the way he's come in here and worked from day one. You know, the time he's put in, early mornings, and just like any other rookie quarterback, they have to work, you know, through some stuff. But I thought just, you know, seeing him going up against an Ours defense during training camp, having the opportunity to go on the road for 10 days and, you know, go against Todd's defense and Raheem's defense in Atlanta, seeing all those different pressure looks and handling that stuff, that's really the toughest thing for these rookie quarterbacks is really just handling protections and seeing all that. And you know, I think he's done a great job with that. You know, anytime there are mistakes, you know, he'll go back with Bo and Callie and Nick to work through it. But I think he's done an outstanding job with it.
So that was Mike Borgonzi on Cam Ward. Now, look, I don't expect him to get up there and be like, no, he's
right.
He's been trash. But yeah. The thing that I appreciate about Mike Borgonzi, and this goes back to, you know, when you asked the Super Bowl roster question, you know, he gave you an answer of like, well, yeah, I mean, but we got work to do. And I kind of feel like he was praising him, but also saying like, hey, the cake's not done yet. The product is still developing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, like 80% of what these guys are going to say is like, ah, okay, I figured that out. But sometimes they drop nuggets. But here's the part about Borgonzi that I like. He's talking to us. Unlike Rand Carthon, yeah, who never spoke to us. And, like, again, it's their right whether they don't speak or not. But it's beneficial that they do speak. They get the word out about why things are going on. You get out ahead of the narrative that's going on and talk about it. So that's fine. I like, you know, I wanted to get why they brought certain players in, what was the look at those guys, why they let certain guys go. And he's been pretty transparent on that. And now, you know, they load the team up and get ready for the opening game next week against Denver. So it's good. But yeah, he's not get up there and say, you know what, Cam Ward, it's worse than we ever possibly imagined. I mean, this guy, I mean, he could not hit anything that goes on. So yeah, they like Cam Ward. They believe in him. Again, I'm just like, I didn't see enough of him in the preseason to have an idea of what's going to happen in Denver next week. But they've slowly built this team. They had another 10 days before the first game. Let's roll.
Another one that I, on that development that I thought was interesting, he was asked how you fairly develop Cam Ward going up against a training camp defense, essentially.
How big did that jump for him from limited snaps, pretty vanilla defenses, and directive not to get hit, into full games, everything goes defensively, and obviously going to get hit?
Yeah, I mean, the live bullets are flying now. I mean, you go through the preseason, but anytime it's like training camp, it picks up. You know, the preseason picks up in speed, and in week one in Denver, it's going to pick up. So there'll be an adjustment to that. So, you know, I think he got hit once, took one sack here in the preseason. But, you know, the speed of the game picks up here as we go on. So it's going to be adjustment for all these rookies, not just him.
But that goes to your point of what you were just talking about, of he didn't go through the second half. He didn't play a ton in the preseason. I think that's a fair question by Paul. Because how can you truly say, yeah, this kid is ready, he's ready for a full 60 minutes of an NFL game,
right,
when he's never played it?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and they're hoping he turns out like Jane Daniels. All Titans fans are, even C.J. Stroud that first year that goes on. So, look, the jury's still out, and they drafted him for a reason. He's got a hell of an arm. He was successful everywhere he's been. So now you got to surround him with some good talent that goes in with when they start for the opening game next week against Denver. So, look, if they feel he's ready and they feel that things are progressing like they should, good for them. We'll all know the answer next Sunday in Denver.
Now he's coming up next. He kind of got asked about the draft classes. He also got asked about a class that he wasn't a part of, which is something that we've talked about a lot. We'll hear more from Mike Borgonzi coming up next. But again, we are live at the Mint at Kentucky Downs, the Mint Gaming Hall. They got all the slot machines. They got the sports book. There's baseball on. Obviously, college football coming up later tonight. So you can watch the games here. You can wager on the games. And they have horse racing going on starting today for 7 days. After today, 6 more days of live horse racing on the grass here at Franklin, Kentucky. Admission is free to that. So you can come check out the live horse racing. They also have the largest sports book in Kentucky with the Circa Sports Kentucky. It's now open here at the Mint Gaming Hall, an 80-inch screen in the sports book, stadium-style seating, and the best place to see your college football, preseason football, which is over, and so much more. It's brand new and absolutely a must-see for any sports fan, so be sure to come check it out. We're here all day. We'll have more from Mike Borgonzi coming up next, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe live at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. I got to tell myself, and thank you to Jeff Kolb for pointing this out to me, because it's the old adage, if it's on the prompter, Burgundy will read it.
Right.
The copy I had said an 80-inch screen. It's actually an 80-foot screen. I mean, look, I'd love to have an 80-inch screen in my house.
Right.
That would be nice, but it's actually an 80-foot screen here at the Circa Sportsbook. At the Mint at Kentucky Downs. So, again, as the movie Anchorman taught us, if you put it on the prompter, Burgundy will read it.
Yeah, it's giant. I didn't even catch it either because I'm like, oh, my God. It's perfect. This is the perfect spot to come and hang out and watch sports and have a good time and do a little gambling if you like. It's really conveniently close to Nashville. It took me 40 minutes to get up here from Opryland. It's perfect.
Well, and you've already checked out the new pizza parlor pie rollers inside the Mint Gaming Hall. It's right next to the sports book. You can grab a slice or a whole pie, plus Iron Steakhouse as well, which is their big steakhouse here. So if you're hungry,
right.
they got a fix for that. They can help you out.
Are they trying not to make us leave?
Because they want you to stay.
I mean, the pizza smell is permeating through this whole place. So it's great. So good.
Right off exit 121 on I-65, just go to the Mint Gaming .com. All right, I was into what Mike Borgonzi had to say.
Yeah.
So once again, I forgot to set you up. So this is my fault again.
I'm sorry.
Just failing as a host today. Our question of the day.
Our question of the day is, since we've got Al Wilson coming on at 12:30 today, and so many people have texted me and tweeted me that he's their favorite college football player. So we want to know, with college football really starting this weekend, a lot of games today, simple question of the day. Who's your all-time favorite college football player?
College football.
All-time favorite college football player, 615-737-1025. You can call or text. We love either way. We love you guys getting with us and talking to us. Your all-time favorite college football player. We got Al Wilson coming on at 12:30, and college football starting this weekend.
Our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. Mine is actually a former teammate of Al Wilson, because, you know, obviously I am a Vandy fan, but those Vols teams in the late 90s mm-hmm. were just fun to watch. And there was one player on that 98 team in particular that I just thought he was awesome. Peerless Price.
Oh, yeah.
I called him Fearless Peerless.
Did you?
Yep. Peerless Price.
He was good, man.
Because he was always making a big play.
He returned that kickoff versus Alabama 1998 when they were down and won the game for him, and really kind of changed how things were going right there in that game in the season. So that's a good one. Mine, a little old school, but I love Dell Jones when he played at Tennessee. Linebacker, yeah. Undersized. We went to the same JUCO together. He was 5 years ahead of me, though, but the guy should never play in the SEC. He was told he's too small, too slow. Dell Jones with the interception in 1985 off of Mike Shula at Legion Field to beat Alabama that season was, I'll never forget that. So Dell Jones is mine.
Who is the there? I finished the Cowboys documentary last night, by the way. There was another guy besides Harper. There was another guy from the Vols that played on those teams.
Bill Bates?
Bill Bates.
Yeah.
That's who it was.
Bill Bates. He's the one that Herschel Walker ran over in 1980 in Neyland Stadium. Bill Bates, undersized, but you know what? Played special teams, hell of a player for many, many years for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Great player. Great player.
It was fascinating to watch the Michael Irvin trial, because they spent a lot of time talking about that in one of the episodes and how it was like the O.J. trial in a different way, but just the coverage that it had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And how big of a deal that was. And that was kind of the end. I mean, that was basically what brought the dynasty down. And then Jerry finally kind of having that moment, and they had his wife Jean talking about that, you know, he accomplished so much, but there was one thing that just bothered him that he finally one day sat down with the family and said, it's time for me to fix this. And that was Jimmy. And that was putting Jimmy in the Ring of Honor.
Ooh.
And like it was, it really documents them truly burying the hatchet. And like it was very, and they both admitted they were wrong, that it was on both of them. You know, Jimmy's thing is he couldn't let go of the 500 coaches could have coached this team. That really hurt him. And Jerry couldn't let go of Jimmy wanting to take full credit for the Herschel Walker trade.
Two battling egos right there. What's funny, Tennessee fans will know, Jimmy Johnson, it's all ties in. Jimmy Johnson, the 85 Miami team, could have won the national championship at the Sugar Bowl, but Tennessee and Dale Jones beat that tail down in the Sugar Bowl 35-7. Irvin scored the first touchdown in that game. So Miami went up 7-0, and Tennessee rallied back and won 35-7 and put Tessaverde on his butt the entire game. And Jimmy would have won the national championship. He didn't win it again until 87 because he got beat by Penn State the next year. And then 87, they beat Oklahoma, which really that game, the Orange Bowl game in 87, really shut down the wishbone.
Yeah.
Because they Jimmy Johnson and his staff devised a way to stop the wishbone, and they did. And they won their first the second national championship, but first under Jimmy Johnson in 87. So everything ties in together. So that's our question today. Your all-time favorite college football player.
Oh, man, a lot of these are coming in. we will get back to that here in a few minutes after Al Wilson. But continuing on Mike Borgonzi, I thought it was interesting that these next two questions that were brought up to him. The first being this rookie class and what he thinks about it to this point.
About being thin on the back end of the roster coming in, he's your lone undrafted rookie. How do you feel like you guys did with your undrafted rookie class getting that right?
Yeah, good. I mean, I thought the competition was good. You know, we obviously kept Brendan on, and you know, Restrepo's back here on the practice squad. Yeah, I mean, I, you know, you're always – these guys, even though we let them go here now, you know, they could be back here at some point. You know, we made some waiver claims, some guys we added to the practice squad. So I think our staff always does a great job of evaluating these young guys. And, you know, it's different every year for the guys that you keep. It depends, you know, what your depth is on the roster. You know, we found an opportunity here to claim a couple of corners here at the cutdown day with Womack too. You know, I think they came in here, they competed well, and like I told them, too, when we released them, this might not be the last time we see you. You know, we could bring you back here on the practice squad at some point this season, so it's always fluid.
So that was on the, you know, especially the back end of the roster, the rookie class. You're always taking a flyer on those undrafted guys, but I think certainly if they can get any type of depth production out of them, then – it's going to be good.
Historically, they've done great. The Titans have with fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks. They've done it great, whether it's Borgonzi, Robinson. We're going to skip over Carthon and go back to Floyd Reese and the GMs. They've done really good of getting those late round guys. Cortland Finnegan's one. Bo Scaife is one. I'm talking fifth, sixth, and seventh round. So, you know, Brock Purdy is a great example of seventh rounder, you hit him, and guy is just a massive success in the NFL. So, look, you're right. If these guys could contribute slightly somehow and you're drafted in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round, I think it's a home run. It's an absolute home run. Look, they got the two receivers in the fourth round. If those guys can contribute, I think it's a nice draft for this Tennessee Titans football team. That's all going to come together. Is that going to take a year, 3 years? Who knows? But we'll see what they've got. But I like where they're at right now. I like what Borgonzi had to say.
Speaking of Rand Carthon, and I have not heard this answer yet. Borgonzi was asked about the 2023 draft.
Ooh.
Class of 2023 from just 2 years ago is really right now down to just Peter. Of course, Tajay's on IR, so is Levis. But is that just a product of calling out some parts that maybe don't fit as well as some of the guys you've brought in, or why do you think that some of those guys just couldn't stick around?
You know, this league is really tough and competitive year to year. So it just happened some of the guys that we brought in, we felt like we were going to keep them. And, you know, those guys will have other opportunities here with other teams, but it depends on, you know, year to year, really. The guys you bring in, the guys you draft, the free agents that you bring in, and the roster looks different every year. So, you know, those guys will be on teams. They're talented. So, you know, it's just the way the National Football League is. It's a year-to-year thing.
Translation. Yeah, that draft class was pretty trashy. It was bad.
Yeah,
it's so like we got better players and we moved on.
In my mind, how can I slam Rand Carthon and be kind of nice about this? And look, it was just – it was bad. It was really bad. And now – and that's why you can't completely blame Borgans, even Callahan for the most part, for the – players on the team. Again, Callahan's got a lot to prove to me to be a head coach here, but he didn't have a lot to work with last year. I mean, it was really bad.
He's got a lot. All right, here's the other thing. He's got a lot to prove to be a head coach, and I got to see these guys play. They got drafted this year. But the way Borgonzi conducts himself in a press setting, and, like, I was glad he was up there by himself today, and, you know, just what I've seen from him to this point, that's a general manager.
Oh, yeah. You know,
like that is a general manager.
You've talked about the Cowboys documentary. I watched the Chiefs Kingdom last night on ESPN, and Borgonzi was part of all that with getting Mahomes and all that. And it's funny, you take Patrick Mahomes out of that, and then you take Andy Reid with him, they're an average,
right,
average football team. It only takes a few to put you on the map, then you build around them. They've done a great job of building around Patrick Mahomes with good players, and that's it. I mean, you get a good head coach and a great quarterback, as Tim Hasselbeck has told us over and over, you can do some really amazing things. Hopefully Borgonzi knows that Cam – and don't take this the wrong way, people – that Cam Ward is his Patrick Mahomes.
Coming up next, we'll obviously talk more about this later, including the Titans captains, which I have – a little bit of a thought on.
Right.
That we'll discuss. But coming up next, Al Wilson, the former Vol, will join us, who of course was on the 98 National Championship team. He's going to be an honorary captain for Tennessee against Syracuse this weekend. We'll talk to Al. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, we are live at the Mint at Kentucky Downs here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We're live at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. Coming up Saturday down in Atlanta, it will be the Tennessee Volunteers against the Syracuse Orange. And we talked to an honorary captain from Syracuse earlier this week, of course, former Titan Keith Bullock. Now we talk to the honorary captain for the Tennessee Volunteers. He is a College Football Hall of Famer, Al Wilson, the fine linebacker from the heyday in 1998, winning the national championship. Al, good morning. How you doing? Thanks so much for doing this.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys. And I love that music you got on right there.
I'm sure you have never heard that before.
Yeah. I get confused for this guy a lot.
How special is it going to be that you are going to be an honorary captain in that game coming up in Atlanta on Saturday, donning the orange once again?
Oh, it's a real honor, man, just to have the university think of me in that favor and, you know, have the opportunity to represent all the guys that wore the orange before them. So I'm excited, looking forward to it.
What do you remember about the matchup that you guys had with Syracuse? I think it was 98. Was it 98 to start the season? Yeah. What do you remember about that?
I just remember us not being able to contain Donovan McNabb. That's what I remember. it was one of those knockout, drag-out games. We knew it was going to be a tough game. We knew they had a good football team. And, you know, that ended up being the only game they lost that season. So, you know, I think it said a lot about our team.
We're talking to the great Al Wilson on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Al, how did this all come about you being the honorary captain for the game Saturday down in Atlanta versus Syracuse?
I just got a call from the university, and they asked me if it was something I would be interested in. And obviously, you know, anytime I get an opportunity to represent the university and represent the program, I'm all for it.
Yeah, if you could give a speech to the guys before the game, what would Al Wilson tell the 2025 Tennessee Vols before the game on Saturday?
You know what? I would tell them you don't have to play a perfect game. You just have to make the plays when they present themselves. It's that simple. You know, Syracuse is going to make some plays. You guys are going to make some plays, but you just got to make more than they do. And at the end, you should get the W.
There you go. I like that. Fired up. Get him ready to go. Al, I got to tell you, Al, when I go to Neyland Stadium games, I know we see a lot of number 16 jerseys around, but I'm telling you, Al, the amount of number 27 jerseys I see on game day in Knoxville is something else. I know since you've left there, you've felt the love for Big Orange Nation because it's everlasting. What does that mean, the love, the admiration? We've told people you're coming on the show today. So many people have said that you're their favorite college football player. What is that all like for you?
Well, I can't take credit for all the 27s. You know, it's been some great ones that have worn it after me, from Arian Foster to James Pierce. So I can't take all the credit, but, you know, it does feel good. It does feel good when I get an opportunity to run into fans and they say they remember a game from the 98 season, or they were at the national championship game, or the Arkansas game, or even the Florida game. And it just brings back great memories. And, you know, it let me know that I did my part out on the field, and obviously, you know, as a team, to accomplish what we wanted to.
How special, Al Wilson is with us, former Vol linebacker. How special was it for you to get inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2021?
You know, it was real special. It was very unexpected. You know, I really didn't expect to get in, but they voted me in, and I was, you know, my family was excited. I was obviously excited. And just to be going down in history as one of those guys that played the game at the highest level, you know, as a player, that's pretty much all you can ask for. So, you know, I'm honored to be a part of a great group of guys, and, you know, I just try to represent them the best possible way I can.
Now, you're going to be down in Atlanta for the game. Are you going to swing by and go check your name out? Joe and I were just there. It's a really cool place.
You know, I may. I haven't been to the College Football Hall of Fame yet. I may swing by there. It's going to be a long weekend. It's a lot of guys coming in town, so we're going to have a little fun in the process.
We're talking to Al Wilson on the Chasing Big Joe Show. I'm getting several texts. People want to know the reaction. I'm sure you've been asked 1,000 times about the Clint Sterner fumble in October of 1998. Where were you? What were you doing? What was going through your mind? Because people forget when I think Billy Ratliff recovered the fumble, you guys still had to go down and score to win the game. But what was that all like, that whole play and everything, when Sterner fumbled?
You know, I was actually on the sideline. I had my groin wrapped up. I pulled my groin like a few plays before, a series or two before that. So I was out of the game. And, you know, Billy Ratliff, being the great player he is, told T. Martin to don't take your helmet off. We're going to get the ball back. And obviously, you know, he did his part, recovered the fumble. And then from that point on, it was all about T. Henry.
Oh, yeah, and he went down and scored. It's so awesome doing that. All right, where were you when T. Martin threw that pass to Peerless Price in the national championship game?
I believe I was standing up. You know, normally defensively when the offense is on the field, we're sitting down. But I believe I was standing up, you know, on the sideline, just enjoying the moment and understanding that we had a chance to become national champions. And for me, that was that's one of those moments you'll never forget.
Oh, absolutely. With that, and the Tennessee beats Florida State doing that. All right, you go to the Broncos, and you had a nice career there in Denver. And, you know, at some point, we all got to hang it up, right? And so you had to walk away from football. Was that tough when you had to walk away? I know you had a lot of injuries, Al, but my goodness, what a career you had, college and the pros.
I appreciate that. It was definitely tough. You know, it didn't get to end on my terms, but, you know, God always has a plan for you. And I just took it in stride and, you know, just tried to be as positive as possible and move forward. But I was grateful for my time in Denver. I loved the teammates I played with and loved the city of Denver, loved the fans. It was just an amazing time, and I just had some great experiences. So, you know, I'm forever grateful to the city of Denver.
Al, I got to ask you this, because the Titans are going to open their season in Denver, and anytime, you know, a team plays there, you always hear about the altitude. You got to be careful of the altitude. The altitude has a factor. How much of a factor is it? You played there for 8 years. For opposing teams to come in when they're not used to it?
It's a real factor. But the one thing that I would say I noticed about teams, if the Broncos jump out on the team early, you can pretty much put that game in the W column. But if you let them stick around, guys just find a way on the opposing team to dig deep. And, you know, sometimes get a W. So I would, my suggestion would be go out, you know, get as much oxygen as you can pregame and, you know, hope for the best, because that altitude does play a factor for sure.
What is your kind of your thoughts on this current Vols team led by Josh Heupel?
You know, I'm excited about the season just like everyone else. You know, I live by that motto that offense sells tickets, but defense wins championships. So at the end of the day, I feel like our defense is going to have to carry us like they have the last 2 years, and I'm okay with that because, you know, you can score 50 points, but if you can't stop them scoring 51, it doesn't matter. So I just feel like defensively we're going to have to step up and take control of each and every game.
Al, what would it be like for you, or how much would you pay to run through that tee just one more time?
I did it for free, so I don't know how much I'd pay. But I would love to do it again, my friend. It's one of those experiences that it's hard to explain. You know, it's just a feeling that, you know, as a kid, you see it a lot, but when you get an opportunity to do it as a player, it just gets you fired up and makes you want to go out and perform well.
Love it. Al, thanks so much for doing this today. It's been an honor to talk to you. Have so much fun in Atlanta. And, you know, I'll say this because you're a Vol. Bring the Vols home a win. There you go.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. VFL, Al Wilson, the College Football Hall of Famer, joining us here on the program. And, of course, a member of the 98 championship team. So played with Peyton, played with T. Martin, and then a fine career with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, look, you look at it. Did not end the way he wanted to with the injuries and everything, but my goodness, what a career he had.
Would he have played at least one year with Cutler?
He would have, in 06.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Cutler's rookie year.
That's right.
Oh, wow. That's crazy how it all comes about.
Right.
Coming up next, we'll get back into our question of the day, which in honor of Al Wilson is,
what is your all-time favorite college football player? A lot of you have weighed in about Al Wilson being your favorite player. Want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. Your all-time favorite college football player.
We will do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe again live at the Mint at Kentucky Downs today. You can come see the horse racing that's going on. It started today, 7 straight days of horse racing. They also have the Circus Sportsbook with an 80-foot sportsbook screen. The stadium-style seating, you can come check it out right off exit 121 on I-65 in Franklin, Kentucky. Check it out at themintgaming.com. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. Exit 121. The exit may say Portland, but it's right at the state line across in Franklin, Kentucky. We are here all afternoon and appreciate them for having us. And, again, horse racing going on right now. You can also check out the sports book at Circa with an 80-foot screen, and you can go see that and also get some pizza from Pie Rollers, all that great stuff. Dr. Crane, of course, is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So Dr. Crane, who did a great job with us with Jake this morning. Our question of the day, in honor of Al Wilson coming on the program, who is your favorite college football player of all time? 615-737-1025, or phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Got several texts on this. Zach in Franklin says Michael Vick. Very good at Virginia Tech.
Very good at Virginia Tech.
Tommy says, as a Vols fan, Eric Berry. In general, Reggie Bush was electric.
Eric Berry. I replied back, any player that loves contact, loves to hit you as hard as they can, makes the list. Eric Berry was that dude.
Let's see. Jeff, or Patrick says, oh, this is a good one. Jeff Samardzija, Notre Dame, was a receiver and then became a pitcher with the Cubs.
It's a good receiver.
Gino, you had to go there. Vols fans are going to be mad at you. Charles Woodson, the only defensive player to win the Heisman over, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Hell of a player, though.
How do you feel about that, Peyton?
Man, Charles was deserving. I got the better of him knowing the pros a couple times, but yeah, I decided to be in New York because I had Cooper, Eli, and Archie and Olivia up here with me when I was going to win the Heisman back in December of 97. We didn't get it done, but I'm good for Charles, man.
Lance says the Boz, Herschel, and Bo.
I mean, how do you argue? The Boz is, if you watch the 30 for 30 on Boz, I mean, was something that we'd never seen before. But my goodness, Bo and Herschel. I mean, if you had to pick one of those three, good luck.
This is this text from Michael Madison. I don't know how to argue it.
Got to be honest, I was never truly into college football since Vandy has been a doormat for so long. But Diego Pavia has ignited a love for the game.
Good. Good.
That's good. That's what
a great
need.
Answer. That's a great answer, and I'm glad he does, and I hope they win 8, 9, 10 games this year.
Chris in Nashville, Tommy Frazier from Nebraska. That guy could break tackles like no other.
Here's a problem with Tommy Frazier that y'all do, and I hate. Well, he didn't do it in the pros. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? In college, Tommy Frazier running that offense at Nebraska was something else. That game against Florida in the Fiesta Bowl for the national championship was something else. So Tommy Frazier was amazing.
Ricky says Charlie Ward.
Great.
Yep, that's a good
Charlie
one.
Ward's funny. Charlie Ward says, you know what? I'm going to go to the NBA and have a nice career and make millions, and he did. But he's a hell of a quarterback at Florida State.
Kelly says Brian Boswell, favorite college player to watch.
He's great.
Al says Tebow and Bo. And God. Tell Al Wilson I love his first name.
Tebow was so good. That 07 season was when he won the Heisman. But 08 was good when they won the national championship. And Bradford won the Heisman that year. And Tebow probably should have. But it was good, man, just watching those guys.
Here's an interesting one. Nate in Hermitage, favorite college player, Josh Dobbs. My freshman year at UT and intro to college football was 2009. So I didn't have a lot to cheer for with the Vols early on in my fandom. Dobbs helped usher in the first real exciting seasons I experienced as a Vols fan.
So Dobbs came in 13, and I know Butch wanted to redshirt him, but the quarterback situation in Knoxville was so bad in 13. I think Peterman was there. Oh, my God, I'm leaving somebody else out that transferred out. The quarterback situation was so bad after Tyler Bray left that he had no choice but to start Dobbs, and Dobbs had another year, and he'd been great. But look, Dobbs has done great. He's still playing the NFL.
Yep.
Good for him.
Justin says from the University of Miami at Ohio, or in Ohio, Ben Roethlisberger. Big Ben.
I mean, bigger than any player on either side of the ball, too.
Got another one for Eric Berry. Let's see. Marcus Allen was one.
Remember, Jeff Fisher told us a story about Marcus Allen in practice, because I think Marcus Allen was the third or fourth team running back when he got to USC. They couldn't stop him. And then even when Charles White won the Heisman in 79, Marcus took over in 80 and 81. He won the Heisman in 81, was unstoppable. Marcus Allen was a hell of a running back.
Nevada Josh, Willis McGahee was really fun to watch, even though he didn't do much in the NFL. Doesn't matter. Darren McFadden, Reggie Bush, Nate Burleson is also, and my buddy Duke Williams.
I don't remember Nate that well in college. But
I don't either.
But Reggie Bush, I mean, that electric, dynamic, wonderful, all the – adjectives you want to throw out there. He was amazing.
Clay and Waverly, Vince Young, one of the best college QBs of all time. He was great at Texas.
Best performance in the Rose Bowl versus USC. Might be the best college football game of all time.
David in Portland, definitely Tim Tebow or Johnny Manziel. I was wondering if we get a Johnny
We all
Manziel.
Watched that documentary, and Manziel was in 2000. What made Manziel great in 2012? Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw what he was going to do. And he was amazing. That 2012 season was amazing.
This is a good one. I'm glad Thomas brought this up. Condridge Holloway.
Great. Great quarterback in Knoxville. I mean, he was just every adjective and accolade that Condridge Holloway got absolutely deserved.
7829, this might be a stretch, but Travis Hunter is my favorite college player of all time. It was truly awesome to watch him go for 110 on 7 catches with 8 targets and 2 touchdowns, then immediately go back and shut down your best receiver. Never seen anything quite like that at the Power 4 level. I've seen something like it. His name's Deion.
Deion didn't do this so much on the wide receiver part of that, but I get it. I mean, it doesn't matter if the guy played in 2024 or 1924. If he's your favorite, that's it. But Travis Hunter was coming out of high school, was the 5-star, and to see what he did, win the Heisman Trophy now at Jacksonville, good.
Viking Matt has a good one, Troy Polamalu.
Oh, my gosh.
At SC.
So good. He's a guy in college that you knew that would translate into the National Football League, and it did for many years.
Here's a good one. Drew from Hendersonville, the hefty lefty, Jared Lorenzen from Kentucky.
J-Throw. I mean, rest in peace, but – he was massive and just a big, huge quarterback. We're number 22, but he was good, man. He threw a bullet, too. And so that's absolutely – Kentucky fans, I loved it. I thought he was great, man.
Wasn't he the I forgot he passed away.
Yep.
Was he the Pillsbury throw boy?
He was.
Yeah.
All the nicknames are great. We had Hasselbeck talk. They cut Tim Hasselbeck to keep Jared Lorenzen in 07, and that's year the Giants beat Vrabel and the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Rocket Ishmael.
Good.
That's one.
At Notre Dame returner. It's just a shame, though, because he went to Canada for the NF for the professional that came back with the Cowboys, but he was great at Notre Dame.
All right, let me just read through these real quick.
Go.
Owen says Leonard Little. Another one says Earl Campbell. Darren McFadden, Woo Pig. Jeff says Archie Griffin, and Ron says Rod Woodson.
Rod Woodson at Purdue. So fast, so good.
So we'll get more of these coming up a little bit later on, but coming up next we'll tell you what all's going on here at Kentucky Downs at the Mint. You can learn more about that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.